Welcome to John Wayne Lied to You, the storytelling podcast featuring me, your favorite spooky, kind of ooky with, doesn't really eat any cookies. This really went off the rails. It's John Wayne, me. Here I am, back again this week. Welcome. I appreciate you joining me once again. I am, of course, nestled here in the Library of Evil over in the East Wing of Wayne Manor. Like always, as I convene on every Sunday morning and when I record this to put out Monday, if you're listening to it on the first day, I have, of course, the candles are lit! That's a little homage to Dean Del Rey, my man. But I did get some new candles in finally. I had to, you know, order some. I tried to go to the Magic Cauldron, which is a shop here in Houston, shouts out, that has, like, you know, candles, and like I got my tarot cards there, and they have books, like all that kind of stuff that has to do with the occult and whatnot. And I was like, it was last Sunday I was going after I recorded the podcast. It was because it was St. Patrick's Day, and I didn't even realize that, but I'm driving, and I knew something was wrong when I passed two of those peddling bars. Have you seen that, where like you got like eight idiots on a bar that's on a bicycle type thing, where you're like, you have to pedal to move it, and it's like you're just drinking from a keg the whole time and all kinds of crazy shit? Yeah, I saw two of those, and it was like, you know, 10:30 in the morning. I was like, something's wrong, something's going on. And then I get to the street I need to go to get to the place, and it's closed down because there's a goddamn cycling St. Patrick's Day race. Now look, I've gone on record before. I do not like bicycling, whatever it is. I'm just not down with it. I don't understand it. I don't want to understand it. I don't get the ridiculousness of the dress, the tightness of everything. It's almost like a who-do-you-think-you-are type of sport. I don't know. No, that's just my personal opinion. No offense to anybody out there. I'm sure there's a lot of cyclists out there that just think everything that I do is really stupid. But that's what makes this country great, is we can do that. So I couldn't go get them from the Magic Cauldron. I did have to order them from another shop. And I got them, and I feel complete now. I do have some very good Grandpappy's medicine here, with a nice Topo Chico and a piping cup of coffee starting this day. So my mind is kind of racing already, hit the ground running. I'll tell you why. This has been a power-packed week. You know, let me start back at the top. It was Tuesday. I went to grown-up story time here at Rudyard's in Houston. It was wonderful as always. I didn't have a piece in this month, and I wasn't reading, but I was there to support, and as always, and it was a great show. I got to see some new writers that I haven't seen write anything. Seen write? I mean, you know, people are performing their works, so there was some new writers that have been thrown in the mix that I enjoyed. So that's always exciting to see. Moving right along, however, on Friday, I am heading into the day job, early morning time. It's like 5:30-ish. I'm on the road. I'm on 610, which, if you're not from Houston, it's this big loop that goes around the city, right? So it's a major thing everyone gets on to get to, like, a lot of corridors of the city, I guess, every morning. So it's busy, but, you know, early, you can hit it early and you won't be in too much traffic. So I'm driving, and I hear this something like a ting, 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 like somebody dropped like a pebble down a Pringles can or something, I don't know. And I'm like, that was weird. And all of a sudden, my car just like starts bucking and losing power and all this crazy shit. And I was like, whoa. And I'm like downshifting, trying to get a hold of it and get control. And it kind of catches again where I'm like going, but I can't go fast. So I'm like, I get off immediately. And I do, like, I'm not super far from my house. Like, I could still get back, I feel like. So I flip a bitch, and it's like kind of giving me trouble, and I'm like shifting out of the trouble, and I get on a 610. As soon as I get going, like right past the ramp I get on, it just is dying. So I make it off to the side of the road, onto the shoulder, and I'm like, fuck, damn it. Because I just had my car in the shop, just had the Element new brake pads, new belts and stuff. I thought everything was under control. I didn't know what this could be. So I call, I have to call work and tell them, like, you know, I can't, I'm stuck, whatever. They're like, yeah, take care of it. So I have a towing package on my insurance, which is very good. I've used it a lot of times. I have like 100, up to 100 miles of free towing. Chris and I used it when we were on tour, when the Element starter went out, and it's come in handy quite a bit. So I call that, and they're like, all right, they get me all set up, but it's going to take a while. I knew it would. It took about 2 hours, but while I was there, I was like, man, I think my car's like, I think this might be it. I don't know, man. Because everything started, just all the power died too while I was sitting there. So my hazards went off. There was no light. I couldn't turn on any lights, and it's dark out still. So I was like, fuck. You know, when you're sitting on this freeway, like on this, you know, I'm on like a elevated freeway, and when cars are like jamming by and trucks, it's like, you could feel it shaking and rocking. You know, you're sitting in my car, just like bouncing up and down, kind of just like, you're feeling the rumble and the shake. It was interesting. I just didn't want anybody to sideswipe me or do anything like that. But I figured if they did, I was like, well, I had a good run. But anyway, I was there in my car, stuck for 2 hours. So I just kind of researched different options if I had to get another car, what I would do, looking at things. And finally, I get picked up, and I have the car towed to my local body shop and mechanic here, Yale Automotive, which shouts out to Garrett and those guys have fixed my car and my wife, Katie's car, many times. So I like them very much, and they do good work. So I drop it off to him, and I have it towed there, and I go in, and I'm like, hey, man, I don't know what's up, but this happened. He's like, okay, we'll take a look at it. Fast forward to, I don't know, you know, that was right when they opened at 8. I think maybe they called me around 12:30 or 1, and first thing he says is, it ain't good. And I was like, what does that mean? It's like, I've never seen anything like this before in my entire career. And I was like, okay, what does that mean? What is it? So he tells me, and I don't know what any of this really means, but he says the ignition coil, I think, something happened. It started melting. It melted across the spark plugs, which continued to melt out like the housing or whatever, and one of the spark plugs fell down into the engine, into the cylinder, which was that ping, ping, ping noise I heard, and then it just blew out the cylinder, blew out the engine, you know, and then continued to blow it out as I was trying to get off the road and stuff. And then he said that the entire computer of the car was melted as well, a melted hunk. He had it on his desk. And I was like, shit, man, so Jesus, that's it. He's like, that's it, dude, that's it. You just gotta call some salvage yards and go find yourself something else. That's just, it's it. He seemed so flabbergasted. He's like, I've never seen anything like this. And I'm like, okay, that's crazy. So I had that car for 12 years, I think. It was paid for. It was the first new car I bought myself. It was the first car like I chose for myself. You know, growing up, I got, my dad took care of, making sure my parents took care of making sure I had a vehicle, but it was always my dad's like hand-me-down truck. Like my dad would give me the S10 he was driving, and he'd go get another truck, which was fine. And I loved those little trucks. I had three different, two S10s and one Isuzu Ombre, which is basically the same thing, but an Isuzu. And I drove the shit out of them. I loved them. But the Element was what I actually got to pick out myself. And I wanted one forever, ever since they came out. And everyone was like, these are so ugly. Why would you want to drive one of those? I don't know. I loved it. And, it served me well, man. We drove that. I, I drove it all over the place, all over the country. It's taken, you know, Letters to Voltron has gone to many shows across to different cities in that. Chris and I and John Wayne is Dead have driven literally across the country in it, put many miles on it, with also Adam Atum, the chief, our road manager and part-time lover. And you know, it served me well. It's sad for me to let it go, but at the same time, it's like, well, I can't say that there was anything bad about it. You know, it had a good life. I definitely put a ton of it gave as good as it got, I guess, if that makes sense. So nonetheless, I'm like, okay, now I need an automobile. I could drink a coffee there. So, you know, boring. Long story long, I end up going, finding, you know, buying a car is very easy now. I guess I had it in my head that, like, when you buy a car, it's this cartoonish exchange of haggling and back and forth, and let me ask my manager and all this kind of stuff. But it wasn't like that at all. I actually just found the car I was interested in on the website of the dealership, and you like just say like, oh, I'm interested in this. You click on that, and like they'll call you pretty much immediately and ask like, hey, are you interested in coming to see the car? We have the, because it's like double check the stock or whatever, which is just like an excuse for them to call you and say yes, we have it, even though the website says they have it. So they're like, yes, I have the car. And I was like, awesome, I'm gonna come by in like 30 minutes and check it out. And he's like, all right, I'll have it pulled up front for you. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I get there, the guy's like, boom, here, I have it right here, let's drive it. So I drove it around and I was like, all right, cool, I'm gonna get this. So I ended up getting a Honda Fit. I stuck with Hondas. Chris Jed already ridiculed me for it. He hasn't even seen it in person, saying it's a stupid looking car. But it's not, you know, I like it. It's a hatchback. I got the Sport Edition, whatever that means. So it's got like the low profile tires and it looks a little sporty. But it's black, which I liked. I've always wanted a black car. The Element was, as we know, root beer, brown, candy brown, but it looked purple and stuff like that when it was dirty, especially. So everyone called it purple, but we know it was boxy brown, baby. So this is black. This is nice. It's cool, and it's what I plan to have for maybe hopefully another 12 years. So there we go. So that was a major issue this week, was a whole car thing, and now I have a car payment again, which I'm not super stoked on, but I guess you know, whatever, things happen. So you know, now would be a good time to buy one of my books, like As Seen on TV, my new one from Grindhouse Press, available on Kindle, Amazon, and johnwayneisdead.com. Anyway, so on a bright shining, glorious bright note, yesterday my Mazza arrived from Pennsylvania to visit me. She is here. Shouts out to her and her allegiance of fans and followers. She is in the next room, actually eating breakfast right now while I record this. But that was good. I was very happy to pick my mom up from the airport and have her here. But I don't know what the fuck is wrong with me, but something like I don't know. I was sick. I felt sick, but in a way I never felt sick before. Like, I didn't have a fever. I didn't have any like stomach ache or anything like that. I had aches like the base of my spine, and my head was like hurting and felt all like out of sorts, like whoop, 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 whoop. And I don't know what was wrong. I haven't taken anything weird. I haven't done any weird drugs lately that I feel would have this kind of effect on me. Is this kind of effect on me? But I don't know, man. And I woke up today just like, I'm going to feel better, determined to feel better. And so far I feel better, but I still have that aching. I don't know what's wrong. Maybe, and I, you know, brought this up, so if something happens to me, it could be one of those long con poisonings. You know, somebody might be trying to like rat poison me over time type of thing. I'm not pointing any fingers. Might be my wife, might be not my wife. Who knows? I have many enemies. You know, it could be anybody. So I don't know what's wrong, but I definitely hope that it doesn't persist, because it's really weird and annoying. But other than that, we're here another week in the books. Very, very excited, though, because I'm a little more than 24 hours away from the Indie Lit Invasion reading that I'm hosting with my good friend Jenny at Shepherd Park Draft House here in Houston, right on Shepherd and 34th Street, right at the corner there. I will have myself will be reading, as well as Kelby Losak, Robert Dean, and Carl Harrison. Why do I keep wanting to call you Carl, dude? Patrick Harrison, the third. It's that C in there, Patrick C. Does that stand for Carl? I don't know, man. I don't understand what's wrong with me. You know what's wrong with me, a lot. So Patrick C. Harrison, the third of Death's Head Press head editor, will be there reading some of his amazing work. And he's super talented, so I'm very excited that he even wanted to come do this with us. So it's going to be great. Some other friends are going to drop in. I know Jared Barbie should be there as well from Death's Head Press. And who knows, maybe some other secret surprises. But there will be books there from all the authors if you want to check them out to purchase and of course, you know, get signed and stuff. There was some interest about some posters, so I will have some extra posters there from the event, like for, I don't know, a couple bucks or something. We'll figure it out. And if people want those, to take those home or have those signed. But it's going to be cool, so come out. It's 8 o'clock, the 25th, the day this podcast comes out. So come out tonight to Shepherd Park Draft House, and this is going to be a really cool, killer reading, and I hope the first in a series of these that I will be hosting in conjunction with the bar and Jenny. So a lot of this is so many things going on, so many strands in the old Juder's head, but good nonetheless. So moving on to our tarot reading today, I woke up this morning, my head was still kind of hurting. I was trying to collect myself, like drink some coffee, smoke some weed, you know, help my head stop hurting. And I sat down to put the podcast together and start taking my notes and doing everything. And as you know or don't know, I do this 3-card tarot reading on myself before the show every week, and then kind of go over it as just a thought exercise to help me see what I'm thinking about in a different light and different perspective according to what the cards say. So while I was shuffling up the cards today, I was just kind of thinking about navigating ambiguous waters is what I wrote down. But I mean, like, and there's so much ambiguity in everything in life in general and in everything, yes, but in what I'm trying to do anyway, just like the business and navigating, like, managing expenses versus what you're bringing in and like all this planning, it gets to be kind of ambiguous. And the things surrounding it, you know, it gets to be weird, because mostly because I'm learning all this stuff for the first time. So it's more like I want to do my best the first time around things so it's successful. And then the next time I'm even like super better the next time I come around, like as I'm trying to do now, is like come around to different places I've been and things I've done in the past and growing on that. I also was thinking about planning, of course, around that and balance and, you know, just what the future success looks like as far as, you know, as far as a lot of tangible things as well, like future success. I mean, then like, okay, at this event, I need to make sure that I've, you know, to make my table back or to make my investment in, you know, inventory back or a percentage of or whatever I'm trying to reach, I need to make those a little bit more concrete for myself and set that, just be a little bit more business-minded about it. And I hate it because I'm not business-minded. I don't want to be business-minded. I want to be the fool that runs around and does stupid shit, which is, you know, my specialty. But I gotta, you know, I don't have the means to have anybody else do it for me, so I have to be diligent in these things. I have to, be disciplined in this new way of thinking and this new approach to, you know, this other way of thinking that goes along with the way of thinking I put in to what I'm doing already. But that other side of it, I'm just not too great at, and I need to get better at it. So, first card I draw, I've had this card many times before, and it's always a good one. The High Priestess. So the High Priestess is the guardian of the subconscious mind and the teacher of sacred mysteries and knowledge. So she sits between the conscious and subconscious world of ours, and when she appears, it's saying that the veil to this your subconscious is very thin right now. So you should take time to realize that and meditate on what your subconscious is trying to tell you, basically. Things aren't always what they seem. There are more influences at play here than you think. And that's just, I wrote that down. That's, you know, as far as like thinking about ambiguous things, that's exactly what that is. Things aren't always what they seem, or things aren't always as black and white as they should be, or, you know, the like. So you have to consider the other influences that are at play on what, you know, what you're dealing with. And this is like kind of what I've said before: be still and tune into your intuition. The answers will come from within. And I wrote on that, like, you know, sometimes where this kind of thing is concerned, you know, you already know what the answer is. And if, you know, speaking in sense of conscious, subconscious, it might be buried in your subconscious. It might be right on the tip of passing from your subconscious to your conscious mind. But you kind of, whether you want to admit it, for myself speaking, whether I want to admit it or not, a lot of times in these instances, I already know what the answer is. But I just, you know, you just want to, you don't want to accept it, you know, right then. You need some time to, you know, whether that's like meditate, think about it, rationalize it in your mind, accept it in your mind, whatever. That's what I think that means, as far as like taking some time. But then, you know, you have to accept it and act. You know what the answer is. You're experiencing a time of heightened intuitive ability and insight. Continue on this journey, and trust you are on the right path. So like with the veil, I guess, being lessened between yourself and the subconscious, it's also supposed to be between yourself and the underworld, I believe it says, or death or something. I'm sorry if I'm misquoting that. It's so, you know, I've said this before, I feel like I pick up on just like vibes easily, like with people, especially if I know you well, I can definitely pick up like if something's going on. I feel like if I'm in a room and something's weird, I feel it sometimes, it's going on. I don't know, maybe I'm insane, but that's just a little, you know, those small intuitive abilities, I guess you could say. Maybe they wax and wane with time or the month, I don't know, the moon, if you will, or whatever. But I guess it's saying like now is a time when that sense is heightened. So trust my subconscious, my intuition, trust those thoughts that kind of come, those feelings that come, because now is a time when I'm particularly supposed to be plugged into those feelings. So second card, I've never had this card before, the Nine of Cups. Interesting looking card. It's this dude sitting on this wooden bench, like all happy and shit, and he's got all the cups all behind him on like these pedestals, all like up high, taller than his chair, and he's like all looking happy and fat and shit. So this represents emotional fulfillment, happiness and contentment. This card appears when you are content in all aspects of your life, basking in the abundance of life and experiencing your emotions with intensity and pleasure. So I guess the way I see this for me is it's kind of a reminder for me to remember that I have achieved a lot of goals. I have achieved some things that I should be proud of. Although I wrestle with that, and I, you know, where I don't know what it is. But you know, this is kind of like saying, hey, you know, take some time to bask in that, you know, you did it type of thing. This is called the wish card. If you made your wish and are patiently waiting for it to come to fruition, this is a sign that it will soon be granted. Now, I wrote on my take on that is like, this isn't some magical thing that's like, you made a wish and you're just sitting around playing Nintendo and then all of a sudden the Hawaiian Tropic bus pulls up with, you know, a slide full of, you know, whiskey and money that just drops into your house and you know, they're wearing marijuana bikinis. Just, this is off the top of my head. I haven't really given that much thought, but if you wish for, you can't wish for that and it just comes to your house. It's like what it means here is it's going to come to you because you're working hard and because you're doing the work that has to go into getting this goal, i.e. wish, achievement, whatever it is. You know, that's what that means. Not that this whole scenario that I said before would just happen. Now, if you wanted to put in the work and perhaps you intern at the, you know, you volunteer to intern at the Hawaiian Tropic factory, wherever it may be, and you start there, you work your way up. Perhaps you get to a point where you are event planner and you start to kind of plant the seeds for some, you know, surprise parties and things like that, and then you just work your way up, and then you're head vice president in charge of planning and promotion, and then you put together this tour and you make all these marijuana bikinis and you get this slide and the whiskey and money, and then you make it happen. But that's a lot of work and time, so you're not just going to do that overnight. Realize contentment and fulfillment are temporary and always in a state of change. Appreciate what you have because it may disappear, leaving you to adjust. And also this card is about being, you know, taking time to be thankful for what you say. It's like daily be thankful for like three things that you've achieved or three things that you are happy you have in your life, and your contentment will intensify. That's just, I think, being able to stop again and saying, like, you know what, I am, maybe just recognize that, you know what, I'm thankful I did that, you know, I'm happy about this. It doesn't have to be three things, it doesn't have to be every day, I don't think, but it's just a general stop and kind of let yourself know it's okay every once in a while. Next card, King of Cups. This card represents mastery over the realm of your emotions, creativity, and the unconscious. So again, we're tapping into unconscious thought here with this card. You have control of your feelings, and you draw on emotional maturity to navigate challenges. You steer clear of drama, choosing an emotionally balanced and calm approach. So with that, it's kind of like, to me, I'm working towards that. I can do that sometimes. Sometimes I still have an emotional reaction to things that I want to temper off quite a bit. So I'm looking at this and it's like, okay, I see this. This is what I need to do and what I need to work on. I do hate drama. I do not participate in drama, as you know, I've said before, but I also don't, I don't know, if it's brought my way, I can get a little emotionally unbalanced, I would say. Especially if I get drug into drama that I did nothing to garner, I'm definitely going to have a bad reaction instead of just being level-headed. So that's something that I just need to work on, think consciously about. The king is level-headed, in control of his emotions. Stay true to those who do not allow others... stay true to those... Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I'm fucking this up. Control of his emotions, so stay true to those and do not allow others to steer you off course. This is just I've said this kind of before, where you have people that around you that should be happy, should be proud of you, but all they want to do is complain about what they don't have and why they should have it, or why everything sucks for them. And those are the detractors that are going to pull you off course, because that's like a poisonous mindset, I feel, which is contagious. And, you know, you need, it's something for, you know, me kind of be like, okay, be aware of that, you know, because maybe it's happening and you're just not even actively plugged in, tuned in to like, oh shit, that's what that is. That's what that person is saying. That's what that means when they're saying that. And if you can separate yourself from that, or create some kind of boundaries there, you're going to be a lot better, because you don't know what that's seeping. I mean, things can seep into your mindset and really, at least for me, and if you're not diligent, you know, and they just bring you down or just do put you in a place you don't want to be. So it's kind of like, be diligent in that. Don't let these people steer you off course. Don't be poisoned by this. As a leader, achieving goals is important, is as important as making sure everyone is happy. You draw on this when logic and emotions are out of balance. So I wrote that, you know, that hits home for me, because when I, you know, worked at Starbucks for all that, those years, and was a manager, I never was good at like the business stuff, or necessarily staying on track with all the stupid promotions and things they wanted us to do. But I was good at, you know, keeping the team together and have us working as a team and staying plugged into them and not just being their boss and kind of using my emotions and my heart. I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice. I don't know what's going on here. Anyway, I'm much better at managing with my heart than my head, which I've said has been like, not necessarily a good thing, but is what it is. So that is our readings for today. Definitely made me think a little bit, a lot of like unconscious elements, subconscious elements involved in this, where it's like, maybe I need to trust my intuition a little bit on some things, and things that I'm, you know, questioning. Like I said, those are things I probably already know the answer to, but I'm just, for some reason, need time to accept that that's the answer to them. So worked out pretty nice, pretty cool. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you got something out of it as well. Moving on to our story portion of the day, of the episode. Now, I've mentioned a couple episodes ago my young childhood mischief. So I thought of another story out of the blue. I was like, I can't believe I forgot about this, where I got into some childhood mischief, shenanigans, if you will. And so this story I am going to call TP Identification Card. So when I was 17, it was a very good year when I was 17. Now, I was in high school, and, you know, if you've listened to the program before or are new to it, I've talked about how it took a while for me to come into my own and not be such a giant pussy all the time. So, you know, I had these kind of like, I guess I would look at them as challenges along the way, more like challenges to myself of like, can I do this? Am I too much of a pussy to do this? Can I do this? And I would test myself, I guess, with things, and kind of the more I pushed my own boundaries, it helped me to, you know, kind of find my way and stuff like that. But I wasn't much of a troublemaker. I wasn't much of a mischief guy. I didn't really get into a lot of trouble as far as like in school or anything. I mean, if you go back to I forget which episode it is, but the one where I have my Muzza on as a guest, and we talk about when I'm a senior and I got kicked out of that class, and I just fucking sat in the hallway all year and went to all the lunches and left campus and all that kind of crazy stuff. But still, it wasn't, I was just kind of like, you know, I was protesting, I felt. And you know, if you're not gonna, if no one cares enough to even pay attention to me out there, then of course I'm going to go do whatever I want. Anyway, that's a different episode. Check that out. So if you listened a couple episodes ago, I talked about my friend Ryan and I, how we used to tape cars, as we called it, full explanation in the episode. And the more I think about it, he actually probably got, he was a catalyst in a lot of things like this, because this story also involves him. And another guy we hung out with that we knew, his name was Todd. So this one particular night, the three of us are all going to spend the night at Todd's house. I think we'd been hanging out there all day, I think we were playing like street football for a while with some people there in front of his house, and we were playing video games, and then they're like, I think his dad was cooking out or something, so myself and Ryan were going to stay the night. And we go through all whatever, dinner, everything like that, hanging out, playing video games, parents go to sleep, and I don't even know how these things get started, but for some reason the idea is introduced of sneaking out to cause some mischief. So what gets brought up, this mischief that we're speaking of, I don't know who brought, I can't remember exactly how this came about. Could be a demon that was whispering into our ears, but we get the idea of we want a toilet paper a house. So when I was in school, I don't even know if this still goes on, I assume it does, but mainly happened, or was supposed to happen, or was even remotely acceptable to happen during homecoming time. I don't know why, but I guess it's just a thing you do to wrap the houses of people in the homecoming court, or certain football players, and cheerleaders and stuff like that. That was just a homecoming tradition. To do it off season is definitely not acceptable. Far less acceptable. Now, I don't think a lot of the parents were very happy that it happened. There, you get some of those weirdo parents that think they're in high school now too, because their kid is like, you know what I'm talking about? Those parents, the ones that like let 70 of your fucking savage idiot friends spend the night and drink her liquor, and and the girls can spend the night too, as long as no one leaves. That parent. So you have those that probably would even help wrap their own house just to be out there doing it. But the other parents are probably like, all right, let's clean this shit up. And as long as there's no like eggs or anything that damages anything property wise, it was generally pretty cool. But I don't know why we were just like, I guess because we were like, okay, this would be something that would completely come out of nowhere. No one would expect it. And then why would you even think it was us? We would totally get away with it, right? So we start hatching a plan, if you will. We get it all planned out. We're like, we come up with a person to do this to. I don't know who it was. I to this day, I believe it was somebody I didn't even really know. Maybe even was not even an acquaintance with, but it was somebody's idea, one of the other guys. I'm not putting the onus on them. I'm saying like I was just as much a part of this, but I wasn't the one that came up with who we were going to do it to, and I can't remember who it was, but it was a girl, and it could be something, maybe a snub type, like maybe somebody asked her out, maybe they dated, broke, I can't remember. It's not important, but it's pretty, what is important is we are going to pretty much pull off a random prank on a random person. To which, like, when you think about that, when it's random, if you know the person, at least say you get caught, it's probably gonna blow, people are gonna be pissed off, but they're your friend, parents will blah blah blah, they'll figure it out. But if you're like a completely strange group of dudes just wrapping a random house, that's trouble. That could be vandalism or something like that, that they press charges and those kind of things that they try to scare you with when you're a teenager. Ooh, vandalism. So we decided, and we're gonna do it, but it was already pretty late, but we had to wait, we wanted to wait till it was definitely late, because We didn't want anybody to be awake or, you know, people to be out still, like, you know, hanging out in the streets. This house was in actually the other side of the neighborhood that I lived in, Timber Lane at the time. I believe Todd lived, I can't remember what his neighborhood was called, but it was across another way from us, maybe across Alden Westfield, which was a, you know, a major separation street back in my old hood. So I remember we had to, like, kind of cross over and get to it wasn't just an easy thing, and it was a little bit of a drive. But that was also part of the plan, I guess. We were like, well, we'd be way over here, and why would we be over there? But we don't have any supplies. Like, that's another thing. Okay, well, where do we get this toilet paper? Do we just take it? Todd, do you have to? He's like, we can't take it from here. My parents will know. So this is at the time I also worked at Kroger at this time. They're my first job ever. And the Kroger I worked at was 24 hours. So we went to, we decided we were going to go to my Kroger and buy shaving cream and toilet paper. And then wait, and then just, like, figure it out, wait, put the plan together, and then attack. But first, we had to get out of the house. Now, his parents didn't want us to leave. Obviously, like, they're taking responsibility for two other kids at their house spending the night. They, of course, don't want us sneaking out. You know, these weren't those kind of parents that were like, go out, whatever you want. But to sneak out, we had to go through the garage, into the garage, and then to a door, not like raising the garage door or anything, but another door in the garage area that led outside. We had to be very quiet because we had to go by, I guess, his parents' room. And then this is probably the weirdest thing ever. His grandfather slept in the garage. Now, when I say that, I'm like, that's exactly what when he told me that, I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, my grandpa, he's, like, old and sick or whatever, so he has this small area in the garage that he sleeps in, like, his little bed and stuff, and he's out there, and I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? I haven't seen any grandpa here. And he's like, no, I know, but he's sick, so he stays in here, and da-da-da, he's gonna be sleeping. He shouldn't wake up, but we just have to be quiet, just, you know, he'll be there. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? So he's like, just chill. So he opens the door, and you immediately get hit by this, like, snoring sound. I'm like, what the hell? We look in the garage. In, like, the far left corner, in a very small space, is, like, a bed shoved up against the wall, like a almost, like, less than a twin-size bed, with, like, a lamp and, like, maybe, like, a picture hanging on the wall and shit. It was, like, a very small area had been made to look like a portion of a room, like how a room would look or something like that, but the rest was, like, garage, right? And I think he had, like, a breathing, like, oxygen machine over there as well. So you get this, like all these noises going on, and I am freaked out. I'm like, what the hell is this, dude? It's like when Walter and the dude go in to see the kid that they think took the briefcase, and, like, the guy from Branded is in the iron lung, and he's like, oh, does he still write? And they're like, no, he has health problems. It was like that, basically. But there wasn't a lung, but there was air noises, all this, and it's so creepy that just this little area was actually made to look like part of a house, part of the inside of the house, painted like a wall color. I'm serious, it was so freaky. You know, when I started, you know, when I remembered the story and I started thinking about it, I was like, dude, I remember that. That scared the shit out of me. Because it's like, what? Why isn't your grandpa in the house, first of all? And how come I haven't seen him? I've been here for hours. Anyway, I had to get over that really quick. So we just snuck our way through the garage, navigated through the stuff that was in there. I think he had, you know, some four-wheelers and some stuff. Walk right by the bed in the weird area and the snoring, and then slip out the door, close it very slowly, not to make any noise, and then we go out, and I have the vehicle. I have my truck. My first truck, my Dodge Ram 50. It was a small truck. So we all like crammed into that, and we took off and drove. You know, we were like, yeah, we got out. We go to Kroger. We get a good amount of toilet paper and some shaving cream, and the checker, you know, cashier, I knew because I worked there, and I think she was like, I wonder what you guys are gonna do tonight. And we're just like, yeah, just taking a shit, lots of shits, I guess, and shaving. But of course, she's like, yeah, that, which was another reason we wanted to go there, because, you know, when you buy that shit, you know, they tend to frown on selling things like that to just like three teenage boys in the middle of the night sometimes. So, you know, those could possibly be denied, those purchases. But we got through with it. We get in the car, we formulate what we're going to do. Okay. We go, they direct me to the house. We see the house, we do a pass, drive by, right? All right, we look. Nothing. We go around the block, we come back around, take another look. Anybody around, anything? No. Come back, park like five houses down the street. Get out, and we go up to the house. And they've got some big, like low-hanging trees, like low-hanging limbs and trees. It's perfect house. And we just bombard it like craziness. And we're all being like super ninja quiet. And they're spraying like whipped cream all on the grass. And there's toilet paper all over the grass. Like it's insane. Like we used all of our supplies. Like and I look back and I'm like, I don't even know this person. But we're like, okay, cool, we're done, like, let's go. And so we run, of course, because we're all like, we book it down the street, jump in my truck, and take off. We're like, dude, we did it. We are home free. We are completely fine. Nobody saw us. We're already driving away. It's completely good. Let's go, guys. Let's enjoy, bask in our triumph. So we drive back to Todd's house. And we're all giddy. We're like, oh man, remember what I threw? Oh yeah, did you see that? And I wrapped it around the thing. We're all talking. Get out. We sneak back through the garage of weirdness and the strange old man that's sequestered to there. And get back in to Todd's room, shut his door, and just like, take that breath where we finally feel like we can actually talk. And like, we're like, oh man, oh, it's so great. And I remember I sat down on his bed and I laid back just like down and put my hands behind my head and was laying there. And I realized something felt weird. So I moved my hands down to the shorts I was wearing and patted my pockets and patted my back pockets and realized I don't have my wallet. And I'm like, where's my wallet? Have you guys seen, is my wallet in here? Like, what are you talking about? And I was like, I can't find my wallet. And did you have it with you? I'm like, yeah, I had it with me. Remember, we bought stuff at Kroger. I paid for some of it. I had my wallet. I'm like, did you leave it in the truck? And I'm like, I hope so. So they're like, go out. I guess you'll have to go out and check. And I was like, ah, fuck. So I go out, sneak through the thing again, the gauntlet of insanity with fucking Grandpa Jones out there ready to stab you or something if he wakes up, like he's gonna have a Vietnam flashback or something, and get to my truck, go through it, like I pull out a flashlight in the glove box, I'm looking, I cannot find it. It's not in my truck. So I go back in there and I tell them, I'm like, dudes, it's not there. I was like, man, I and the shorts I was wearing were like kind of loose, like athletic shorts, you know, like mesh shorts or whatever. So you know, I guess I just like thought, like, you know, we were running around, we're jumping around in that yard throwing stuff. It probably just bounced right out of my pocket, like came out of my pocket from those shorts, and then it's in the yard of the people whose house we wrapped. They're like, oh shit, really? And I'm like, it's gotta be, dude. That's my ID, my whole wallet. It's like I just left my calling card at the scene of the crime. They're like, oh shit, man. So I'm like, we got to go back. And they're like, we don't got to do nothing. And I'm like, what do you mean we? You? They're like, man, you know, we'll stay here, but you're going to have to go check it out on your own. So, you know, we're not going to get caught. Basically, it was like a fucking you know, if the Three Musketeers were like, nah, you can go do it. Like, we'll wait here. We already beat the dragon once. We're not going back to help you get the fucking whatever, your wallet. So, you know, then it's like, then you know who your friends really are. But I was like, fine. And I was very scared. I was in a freak out mode because I was thinking like, okay, we did this. It maybe 45 minutes to an hour has elapsed, and someone very well could have woken up, gone to the bathroom. Maybe a neighbor could have come home or seen something and called them. It's very possible that they could be aware of what happened already. And if I go back there, or, you know, either I'm fucked either way. If I go back there and they see me driving around or lurking around outside, or they've already found my wallet, and I'm like, fuck. So I sneak back out, I get back in my truck, I'm cursing my friends, and off I take to this house again. And my heart is pounding. I turn on the street, my heart is just like, doo, 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 doo. You know, not to mention, you know, I'm 17, I'm out, it's like, you know, after 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday or something like that. And in spring at that time, you know, you could get pulled over by these cops, especially if you're, you know, kids driving around the neighborhood at any point, especially if there's been a vandalism occurred, they're going to pull over anybody just to like see what's going on. So that's also got me really worried. So I drive down the street, I make the pass, because I want to see if anybody's out in the driveway or out there already cleaning up or something. Nothing. I see nothing. So then I park down the street again. I get out and I take my flashlight, but I'm also like, I keep thinking, like, if I'm in the front yard with the flashlight, somebody's definitely going to see that. I don't know, but I have it with me anyway. And I'm kind of like, I get to the yard and I start just kind of like turning it on and off to look at certain areas, just like quick and not. And then I'm on my hands and knees and just rubbing through stuff. I'm rubbing through shaving cream. I'm like padding through the grass, through all this, like, because their whole front yard is pretty much, there's toilet paper all over the place, and I'm pulling it apart, trying to find it. Then, all of a sudden, like a miracle, I grasp it. That cold, hard leather wallet in my hand. I open it up. I have all my shit, my IDs, all my stuff's in there. I close it, and dude, I just booked it. I wasn't looking around for anybody. I wasn't seeing if I just got up off my knees and just sprinted to my truck, jumped in, started it, and boom, took off. Made it back and snuck back in, and those guys are like, oh, was it there? And I was like, yeah, dude, it was in the yard. And they're like, oh, whoa, that's crazy. You would have been so fucked. I'm like, yeah, I know. Thanks for your help. So we get through this, and we, you know, we finally go to sleep. And the next day when I was going home from his house, I did swing by, and no one was outside, but they had been attempting to clean up, but there was still some cleanup to do. I went home, and that was it for that. I want to say that when we went to school, whoever that was kept trying to figure out who had done it, from the report that I got from my friends, and they suspected somebody completely different, like a whole group of other people that was not even any way related to us. And it was causing like some kind of contentiousness between them. And we were so proud of that, that like, man, we did this, and then they're fighting each other. This is awesome. And, but at the end of it, it could have gone horribly wrong. I was such a puss then, I of course would have brought down my friends with me. Of course I would have told on them then. It would have just been, and you know, honestly, they would have deserved it for being such dicks to me, but about the whole thing and not coming to help me. But anyway, I lived to tell the tale. I lived to fight another day. There were no repercussions or anything for that, but it was a very close call. And I want to say I learned my lesson, but the lesson that I learned being always pull off a heist alone And don't even take your wallet to the scene of a crime. And there you go. A little bit more mischief. I know that's tame by a lot of people's standards, but back then, for me, that was good old-fashioned trouble times. But thank you again for tuning in to another week. I really appreciate it. Don't forget, we are on Stitcher now, so we should be the show should be available on a bunch of other podcatchers because of that. So still on iTunes, Google Play, but we just recently added Stitcher, so check it out if you use that. Check out my new book, As Seen on TV, from Grindhouse Press. You can get that in the shop at johnwayneisdead.com. It comes personally from me, and I will autograph it and personalize it like I'm somebody. I'll sign it to you and personalize it and send you some extra goodies. You can also get all of my other books are available there, as well as the John Wayne is Dead 12-inch record t-shirts. All of my books are also available on Amazon and Kindle, if that's easier for you to do, or your preferred method of consuming this kind of content, if you will. And check it out. And also, when you go to johnwayneisdead.com, on the shows page, you can see all the upcoming shows that John Wayne is Dead, the band, has, as well as the appearances that I'll have at cons coming up throughout the year. Loading some more on there towards the end of the year, so I'm putting them up just a little bit at a time. I don't want to just throw a bunch of dates up there. It'd be crazy. But just pay attention to that and come out to see me if you're in one of the cities I'll be in. I'd love to party. And it's going to be a good time. If you're in Houston next Saturday the 30th, John Wayne is Dead will be playing at Southern Star Brewery. The event is from 12 to 5. It's free. It is the Bombshell Betty's pinup contest and car show. So it's going to be a lot of fun. There's a lot of great beer and a lot of great other music and a fun time. Tonight, if you're listening to this, 25th of March, come to Shepherd Park Draft House for the reading that I'll be doing with other great authors I have coming in from all over the place. It's going to be a badass time. That starts at 8 o'clock. It's absolutely free, and it's going to be a blast. Thank you again. I appreciate it. Please have a wonderful week, and really, really make sure you know where your wallet is at all times. Your ham wallet.